subject matter of writing. Western scholars are really hung up on writing as the as a powerful symptom of civilization. Writing is considered to be so important, so necessary an activity for advanced human beings. Most people are taught in school about the so-called origin of writing and what a great accelerator the development of writing was for human progress. So, when did writing begin? If we could go to that page. Okay, so there was a time when the story of the development of writing was very neat and tidy. And this is undoubtedly the story that we taught in secondary school and university, beginning of university. Okay, the standard story that archaeologists have uncovered is that the Sumerians in Sumer were the first ones to develop writing in the history of humankind. They have clay tablets recording commercial and administrative affairs dated to 3200 BC. Then, perhaps 200 years later, came the Egyptians with their famous system of pictorial hieroglyphs. So that's about 3000 BC. And then, with the discovery of the Indus Valley culture at the beginning of the 20th century, Indus Valley culture is set to join the club of writing in 2500 BC. Next comes China, around 1500 to 1200 BC, and then bringing up the rear end are the Mesoamerican civilizations, around 250 BC. So this is the popular song that you are given today. Any of you get this story in your education? Yes. Well, be assured that behind the closed doors of academia, the song is hotly debated. For example, in the year 1999, there was an international symposium on the origins of writing held at the University of Pennsylvania. The top-ranked scholars from all the world gathered there for this forum. And what was the monumental conclusion? No one could reach any conclusion for understanding how and why writing came about. You had archaeologists, historians, and other Indological experts there. And none could agree whether writing developed from pictures or numbers. Whether early writing systems developed independently or through cross-fertilization. Do you know about this Congress? What are they teaching you at the university? You have to start a new theory that the Hungarians originated in India. That would be good for your research funding. So, at this conference in 1999, even the glory of the Sumerians was under attack. For such a long time, Sumer always gets the credit for the first civilization to develop,
right?
But then, 6 years ago, this last name here, Dr. Günther Dreyer, he brought out evidence that Egypt was first. He says probably 3,400 BC. So then a big battle amongst the scholars developed. Who was first with writing, Egypt or Sumer? For example, at the famous British Museum, one scholar said outright the Egyptian writing system had beaten the Sumerians by at least 150 years. But her colleague at the same British Museum was a Sumerian scholar. She refused to surrender. He said, if the Egypt experts think that they have evidence of a fully developed script at such an early time, then the Sumerian scholars have to start looking for earlier dates.
Azt mondta, hogy ha az egyiptomi tudósok azt mondják, hogy ilyen korai időben az egyiptomiak már írtak, akkor a sumer tudósoknak csak el kell kezdeni kutatni még jobban, hogy ott is korábbi nyomokat találják az írásban.
You see, if whatever you're studying has a reputation of being the earliest, then you can attract more funding.
Hogyha amit te tanulsz, az a legkorábbi tudomány, akkor jobban jutsz pénzhez.
And you get more prestige.
És van egy pénzhez.
Okay. Now, we have another angle that has recently developed. That means in the past 5 years. I'm sure you know about this. We discussed it briefly. The Indus Valley is mounting a new challenge. Indus Valley culture archaeologists have come up with pieces of pottery that they feel indicate writings could be in the Indus Valley by as early as 3,300 BC. Yes, here. So naturally, this is very disturbing for scholars of Egypt and Sumer. Because if it's true, the Indus Valley would have be famous for a writing development date that is at least at the same time of Egypt and Sumer.
Egyébként igazán, akkor az indis völgyek arról lennének nevezetesek, hogy már legalább abban az időben, amikor a sumerek és az egyiptomiak írtak, ők is írtak.
But it's a controversy because other archaeologists say, oh, we have to be very careful, let's not be so convinced right away that these markings on the pieces of pottery led to fully developed writing.
De vannak olyan tudósok, akik azt mondják, hogy inkább legyünk óvatosak, ne legyünk teljesen meggyőző róla, hogy azok a jelek, amiket ezeken a cserépedényeken találtunk, valamelyikben írásról.
This writing discussion is very important because it relates to the dating of the dating literature.
Nagyon fontos ez az írás téma, mert kapcsolódik a védelem datálásához, védelem zsidatlan datálásához.
I want you to understand that subject from all angles, so you'll be able to have confidence in your dating studies.
Szeretném, hogy minden szempontból értsétek meg ezt a témát, hogy megfelelő gondolkodásában tudjátok hozzáállni a védelem tanulmányokhoz.
I'd like that you embrace the obvious, at least the obvious agnostic conclusion.
Szeretném, hogy legalább a nyilvánvaló agnosztikus végkövetkeztetést fogadjátok el.
That as far as the Vedic texts and Vedic culture, no one really knows for sure.
A védikus szöveget és kultúrában senki sem tud igazából biztosan.
If scholars would just admit that much, then that would be honesty and integrity.
Ha tudósok csak ennyit elismernének, akkor őszintén lennének és lenne integritása.
Okay. So regardless of how the new Indus Valley writing controversy is solved, the fact is no scholar in the world thinks that Indus writing derives from Sumeria.
Ez függetlenül attól, hogy hogyan vélekednek az Indus völgyek írásának az időpontjáról, semmilyen tudós sem gondolja azt, hogy az Indus völgyek írása a Sumerekéből fejlődött.
In other words, they found no signs in any way that the scripts in India, the Indus Valley scripts, developed from Sumer or any other ancient form of writing.
És ilyen nyomát nem találták annak, hogy az Indus völgyek írása a Sumerek írásából, vagy valamilyen más írásformából fejlődött volna.
Now, to be honest, you should know that a few scholars in India say there's a connection between the Indus Valley script and Sanskrit.
Tudni kell azonban, hogy van néhány tudós Indiában, aki azt gondolja, hogy van kapcsolat az Indus völgyek írása és a Sanskrit között.
But very few scholars in the West accept this point.
De nagyon kevés tudós fogadja ezt.
And it is definitely a long stretch to make this point.
És valóban ez egy ilyen elég messzemenő dolog, ilyen állítást tenni.
But some Indian scholars with nationalistic motivations feel pressed to show that Sanskrit is ancient, just like the Indus Valley.
Néhány nacionalista motivációjú indiai tudós szeretné bebizonyítani, hogy a Sanskrit is ugyanolyan erősség, legalább erősség, mint az Indus völgyi írás.
Therefore they're trying to hitch Sanskrit to the Indus Valley script.
És ezért szeretnék kapcsolni a Sanskritet az Indus völgyi írásra.
But as we discussed yesterday, how the whole Indus Valley culture fits in to the picture in relation to Vedic culture is not clear at all.
Hogy az Indus Valley kultúra hogyan éri be a Vedikus kultúra képével, egyáltalán nem világos.
Okay. So, once again, please understand that to this very day, right now, the origin of Vedic information is very perplexing and controversial.
Tehát végén szeretném felhívni a figyelmeteket arra, hogy a védikus szövegeknek az eredete a mai napig nagyon ellentmondásos, zavarodott.
Now please notice, I said Vedic information, not Vedic writing.
Vészíves figyeltek fel, hogy azt mondtam, hogy a védikus információ, nem pedig az, hogy a védikus írás.
It's a very important distinction.
Ez egy nagyon fontos különbség.
So the dating of the scripts has long been an academic battlefield.
Az írás megtalálása már hosszú ideje egy tudományos csapatér.
Now, what do those within the Vedic tradition hold to?
Mit mondanak azok, akik a védikus hagyomány követi?
That the Vedas are a body of knowledge that are originally a revelation that can't be found in time.
Azt mondják, hogy a Vedák kinyilatkoztatás, aminek az időpontját nem lehet megtalálni időben.
That's very important. The body of knowledge can't be found in time. The information
információ.
Now, of course, if you're a skeptic, you'll say, oh, these ancient spiritual traditions always exaggerate how old they are.
Hogyha szkeptikus vagy, akkor azt mondod, hogy hát ezek az ősi kultúrák mindig hullottak az emlékszel, hogy mennyire ősiek.
Of course, the Vedic partisans would point out that modern materialists drastically minimize the time span of human presence on Earth.
Persze, a védikus kultúrák pártaiak azt mondják, hogy a modern tudósok próbálják minimalizálni, hogy az emberek mióta vannak jelen a Földön.
So this issue of how long human beings, as we know this day, have been on Earth is a very, very crucial issue.
Ez egy nagyon ellentmondásos kérdés, nagyon fontos kérdés, hogy az emberek mióta vannak jelen a Földön.
Because if human beings can be shown to have existed on Earth for millions of years, then everyone can see the Vedas are not exaggerating.
Erre kimutatják, hogy az emberek sok millió éve léteznek a Földön, akkor mindenki látja, hogy a Védák nem túloznak.
That's why our Yuga Karma Prabhu's work is so important.
Ezért annyira fontos Yuga Karma Prabhu-nak a munkája.
Because once you open the door to human beings as we know them today existing on Earth for millions upon millions of years, then suddenly the Vedic texts and their information looks quite feasible.
Mert amíg megnyílik ez az ajtó, és elfogadásra kerül, hogy sok millió éve léteznek emberi lények a Földön, a védikus szövegekben lévő információ nagyon valószínűnek tűnik.
Now, when scholars study the written language of each Vedic text, they see symptoms that they've been compiled over a long time.
Amikor a tudósok a védikus szövegeket tanulmányozzák, akkor annak a jeleit kell feltelezni, hogy hosszú idő alatt születtek meg.
It is true, you can see differences in the Sanskrit. Therefore, some scholars argue that there's a development of the Vedic language, and in this way you can classify into a sequence the text.
Ezért bizonyos tudósok azt mondják, hogy a szanszkrit nyelvnek a fejlődése szerint meg lehet állapítani, milyen sorrendben jöttek létre ezek a szövegek.
Just by studying how the language changes.
Csak a nyelv változását tanulmányozva.
For example, this top name, Michael Witzel, the Harvard University Indologist, he theorizes five stages of Sanskrit. Needed to go from the language of the Rig Veda to that of the Upanishads. Now, scholars who are sympathetic to the Vedas remind us of a very important point.
A Védák a szimpatizáló tudósok egy nagyon fontos pontra igyekeznek
figyelmüket. Or even today.
Erre már utaltam.
Language and the knowledge that the language conveys are two different things.
A nyelv és a tudás, amit a nyelv hordoz, ez két eltérő dolog.
In other words, we should not be confused and think that the message has to share the same date as the medium of the message. Is everyone clear about this very important point? Very, very important. And if you can grasp it, you'll save yourself a lot of confusion. Look at the Vedas as a body of information.
Nézzük a Védákat úgy, mint az információnak egy mennyisége.
And there's no doubt that at least much of it is orally derived.
És kétségtelen, hogy a nagy része egy szájhagyományból származik.
So the written language indicates the form of Sanskrit prevalent when each Vedic component of knowledge was written down.
És a szanszkrit nyelvnek a formája utal rá, ahol leírták ezeket a különböző szövegeket.
That's the way a sympathetic Vedic person would answer.
Így válaszol erre egy védikus kultúrával szimpatizáló személy.
The type of Sanskrit indicates what written form was prevalent when each Vedic component of knowledge entered the printed page.
Tehát a szanszkritnek a különböző típusai utalnak arra, hogy milyen szavakat írtak akkor, amikor beírták egy bizonyos részét ezeknek a szövegeknek.
But when did each Veda component of knowledge, when did that information originate?
De mikor származik ez a védikus információ?
That is a different question.
Ez már egy más kérdés.
So let's look at this issue.
Nézzük meg ezt a kérdést.
Now I'm going to tell you something that is universally accepted by scholars, but it sounds astonishing to you.
Most mondok nektek egy olyan dolgot, amit a tudósok egyetemesen elfogadnak, de nagyon megdöbbentő lesz a számotokra.
That is, we're going to talk about advanced memory skills in ancient India.
Most a fejlett emlékező képességről fogunk beszélni az ősi Indiában.
Even Indologists accept this.
Ezt még az indológusok is elfogadják.
Without a doubt.
Kétség.
Both ancient and modern Indians have the ability of advanced memory skills so that they don't have to write things down.
Az ősi és a modern indiaiak is olyan különleges emlékező képességgel rendelkeznek, hogy nem kell leírniuk a dolgokat.
Even skeptical Indologists accept that at least part of the Vedic literature has been transmitted orally with astonishing accuracy for 3,000 years.
Még a szkeptikus indológusok is elfogadják, hogy legalább 3000 éven keresztül a védikus szövegeknek bizonyos része szájhagyományútján adódott meg.
Are you surprised to know that?
Ez meglepő a számokat?
It's not a controversy, even amongst the most skeptical indologists.
Ez nem egy ellentmondás, nem egy vitatott kérdés, mint a szkeptikus indológusok között sem.
They agree that at least part of the Vedic literature has been orally transmitted flawlessly for 3,000 years.
Egyetértenek abban, hogy a védikus irodalmat elállt egy bizonyos részét szájhagyományok útján adták át 3000 éven keresztül.
Students of the Vedas had to learn the knowledge word for word with no errors in pronunciation or accent.
A védek tanulmányozóinak úgy kellett megtanulniuk a védikus szövegeket, és semmilyen hibát nem ejtettek a kiejtésében.
So there's no controversy. There is absolutely zero controversy about this flow. Think about what that means. Generally, you know what happens. If I tell this Prabhu something, and then he tells him, and he tells him, after five persons, you probably can't even recognize what I said in the original.
Dolgok általában, hogyha mondok ennek a tanulnak valamit, és ő megmondja ezt egy másik tanulnak, és így lenni, akkor már több emberen keresztül megy, akkor nem lehet felismerni, hogy mi volt az eredeti üzenet.
But even skeptical Indologists accept that at least part of the Vedic knowledge has been orally transmitted accurately, astonishingly accurately, for 3,000 years.
De még a szkeptikus indológusok is elfogadják, hogy legalább 3,000 éven keresztül teljes pontossággal adták át szájhagyomány útjára a védelmet a tartalmát.
Did you know that?
Tudtátok?
Let's look at the Rig Veda right
now. Nézzük meg akkor a Rig Veda.
The Rig Veda is famous for its system of double checking when persons learn it and recite it.
A Rig Veda arra híres, hogy kétszeresen is ellenőrzik, amikor valaki tanulja azt is elmondja.
In order to be a certified Rig Veda reciter, you have to learn it. You have to memorize it two ways. You have to learn how to recite it according to certain Sanskrit grammatical rules and then without the rules. And this double-checking process assured the changelessness of the words.
És ez a kétszeres ellenőrzés biztosította, hogy a szavak változatlanok maradjanak.
And even the changelessness of the accents.
És még a hangsúlynak a hangsúly sem változott meg az is.
Well, this system is quite amazing and it has gone on for at least 3,000 years.
Ez a rendszer nagyon lenyűgöző és legalább 3000 évig tart.
So, what did the famous Indologist Winternitz say in his History of Indian Literature? And that this text is still in use today. That there can be no doubt that this kind of oral transmission gives a greater guarantee for the preservation of the original text than the copying and recopying of manuscripts. Think about that. It's a concept that is totally alien to Western culture. Oral transmission as being more accurate than copying and recopying something. But now you are hearing that in relation to ancient India, there is no controversy about this. Of course, you were never taught this in school. All right, let's look at writing materials used in ancient India. Generally, they were either palm leaves or birch bark. And as you can imagine, both materials, because they're fragile, would easily perish in the Indian climate. So, do you know when the earliest manuscripts date to that are found in India? Only the first millennium AD. So when you look for manuscripts in India, you are really you're in for bad luck. But when you look for the astonishingly accurate system of transmitting the Vedic text, then you're amazed at what you find. Therefore now, very few, if any, scholars poke at the Indian ability to pass Vedic knowledge down intact over thousands of years.
Ezért nagyon kevés tudós van, hogyha egyáltalán van, aki belepett ebbe, hogy képesek voltak az indiai sértetlenül, mert tovább ezt a tudást elmegy éven keresztül.
The second name, he's the big gun in terms of writing, the history of writing as far as Asia is concerned.
Ez a második név, ez a személy nagyon-nagyon meghatározó volt az Ázsiával kapcsolatos tanulmányban.
Heard of him? So he explains that it is certainly true that intellectual activity in India has always strongly favored oral over written means of expression. And he explains that the best German scholars have already done away with any skepticism about the possibility of the Vedas being preserved orally.
És a német tudósok minden szkeptikus feladatok azzal kapcsolatban, hogy fennmaradhatnak-e a Védák szájhagyományukkal.
The conventional opinion about writing in India is that no writing occurred before 300 BC, the time of King Ashoka.
Az az eredeti álláspont, hogy Indiában nem volt írás Krisztus előtt 300-ig Ashoka idejéig.
He wrote his edicts on rocks and pillars to inspire his people to live virtuously.
Aki a király rendeletein ilyen kőoszlopokat és nem, hogy ezzel inspirálja az embereket, hogy erényesen éljenek.
This is generally what you're taught in high school and university.
Általában ezt tanítják nektek a középiskolában és
negyedben. Any of you remember Emperor Ashoka? But what you're not taught is that regardless of what Emperor Ashoka did, there had been a tradition of astonishingly accurate oral transmission of the Vedas for 3,000 years. Okay. So let's look at what Richard Solomon says.
Richard Solomon.
If you meet any Indologists and quote his name, then they will offer you their lessons.
Okay.
Mention his name to your teachers. Tell them if you learned about him here. Because his research is very recent, just in the past 6 years.
mert az ő kutatásai nagyon úgy kellett, az utóbbi 6 évben végezték.
So he says, the classical or the conventional opinion about writing in India, it doesn't seem that it's going to be able to be changed.
Azt mondja, hogy a klasszikus vagy hagyományos megértéstől Indiában az írással kapcsolatban nem nehéz ezt megváltoztatni.
He says it's hard to imagine, it's true though.
De nagyon nehéz elképzelni, hogy ez igaz.
Because what they know of the state of civilization in India in the 3rd century BC is shows that there was advancement going on for at least a few hundred years. So therefore, Richard Solomon admits it's hard to accept that writing only developed in the 3rd century BC.
Richard Solomon azt mondja, hogy nagyon nehéz elhinni, hogy az írás csak időszámításra kell a 300-ban.
He says, it's also hard to hope that after years of waiting and searching, some new major archaeological discovery will reveal a whole new picture of the origins of writing in India.
Azt is mondja, hogy hát elég valószínűleg arra várni, hogy fogunk találni valami olyan végészeti leletet, ami esetleg azt bizonyítaná, hogy korábban fejlődött az írás Indiában.
Or reveal an actual rather than hypothetical connection with the Indus script.
Vagy valami hipotetikus kapcsolatot fogunk kimutatni az Indus szövegekkel kapcsolatban.
But listen to his honesty, which is rare.
De hallgassatok meg, hogy milyen őszinte, ami
bizonyítani. Nevertheless, it would be unwise to rule out surprises in the future, and we should leave the door open.
Azt mondja, hogy még mindig nem lenne egy bölcs dolog azt gondolni, hogy a jövőben nem tűnhet fel valami új dolog, úgyhogy itt meg kell hagynunk az ajtókat.
So this is all we are asking, this kind of honesty, that's all. És
csak ezt kérjük, ilyen fajta őszinteséget.
Is that too much to ask for?
Túl sok.
What is he saying in ordinary daily, in ordinary conversation?
Mit mond közönséges nyelven szólva?
He's saying, based on the very few shreds of actual evidence that we have now, the German scholars have given us first-class scholarship. Based on the very few shreds of evidence
exist,
they have successfully given us a brilliant scenario that faithfully adheres to the few facts that are presently available. So if you're going to go ahead with your studies at a conventional university, you have to get used to this academic double talk. So he admits, it's hard to believe that this is the true story. 300 BC, as the origin of writing in India? In terms of a developed writing system. But the Indus Valley scripts dating to 2500, they're not like a fully developed writing as we know it today. It's the beginning. But he's referring to a fully expressive writing system. And he says, let's hope that in the future archaeologists come up with something that shows the real truth, but we cannot have false hopes.
Azt mondja, reménykedjünk benne, hogy a régészek a jövőben előállnak valami, ami segíti a megértésünket, de ne legyenek hamis reményeink.
Still, we should not close the door, we should not rule out surprises in the future.
De ne verjük az ajtókat, és ne verjük ki, hogy érhetnek bennünket meglepetések a jövőben.
So, maybe you'll do something about this. For us, what is our conclusion? After all is said and done, dating the Vedic literature is still a trip into truly terrifying darkness.
A mai napig a védikus szövegeknek a datálása még mindig egy nagy sötétben tesz.
Nothing has changed.
Semmi sem változott.
So if simply scholars would admit that it's terrifying darkness, we don't know really what happened, then that would be enough.
Hogyha tudósok csak ennyit elismernének, hogy ilyen sötétségben vagyunk, akkor nem elég lenne.
But the masses want dates and names.
De a tömegek változókat is nem elég.
They want a popular song to sing.
Népszerű dalokat akarnak énekelni.
So, that's what's going on.
And that's it.
What time do we go to? Alright. Now we're going to go to the Saraswati River controversy. And this is also a contemporary battleground. You see, anything that seems to indicate India had a civilized past in remote antiquity becomes a scholastic battleground.
Meg kell jelenteni, hogy minden olyan dolog, ami esetleg arra utalna, hogy Indiának nagyőrösi múltja van, az egy tudományos vitát okoz.
So, in Vedic texts, you'll find statements about an abnormally wide river named Saraswati.
A védikus szövegekben leírás találunk egy szokatlanul széles medrű folyóra, amit úgy nevezünk a Saraswati.
Which flowed from the Himalayan mountains to the sea.
Ami a Himalájákból folyik a tengeri.
In the Rig Veda, Saraswati is the principal river. The Rig Veda contains 50 references in 46 hymns to praise
Saraswati.
And also the Saraswati is there in other Vedic literatures. You'll read about Vedic sages having metaphysical dialogues on the banks of the Saraswati.
Olvasott védikus bölcsekről, akik metafizikai témákban kapcsolatban folytattak párbeszédet a Saraswati partján.
The Saraswati is there in the Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Saraswati-ról ír a Mahabharata, a Srimad Bhagavatam.
And the Vamana Purana, Padma Purana.
Ír a Vamana Purana és a Padma Purana.
But where is it? If you go to India, you will not find it.
Bármilyen Indiában nem találod.
So for so many, for at least two centuries, scholars thought it's just mythological. And then what happened maybe 20 years ago? Through satellites in space, optical images of a dry bed of a river was detected in northern India. At some points, this river was 4 miles wide. In some places, 12 miles wide. So from the satellite, it was seen that there is such a hugely wide river that used to be there in India. And this river is 1,000 miles long. And it has at least 1,000 sites of settlements on it. Buried under the sands of the desert. Now, the Indus River has only about 100 sites.
Az Indus folyón csak 100 ilyen település van.
Therefore, now there's a battle amongst scholars, particularly amongst Indian scholars, to not say Indus civilization anymore, but Saraswati Indus civilization. You know about that, right? Now, what do the objectors say? You see, here we give you both sides of the story, not just one side. You will not get both sides in any ordinary institution. So the objectors say, even though there are so many more sites on the dried up riverbed of the Saraswati than on the Indus River.
Azt mondják, hogy annak ellenére, hogy sokkal több település már felfedett, mi a Saraswati folyó partján, mint az Indus folyó partján.
The artifacts exhumed at the Saraswati sites aren't as important as those from the Indus Valley sites.
Saraswati partján feltett leletek egyáltalán nem olyan fontosságúak, mint az Indus partján feltett.
Therefore, why make such a big deal out of the Saraswati?
Ezért miért csinálunk olyan nagy ügyet ebben a Saraswatiban?
You heard that one?
Ezt már hallottad?
So, we'll go back to the number one godfather of Indology. Actually, I just found out yesterday that Moritz Winternitz studied under Max Müller for 10 years. So, Max Müller made an amazing prediction. He predicted a possible shake-up of Indology based on if the Saraswati ever appeared.
Megjósolta, hogy nagy kavarodás fog itt az Indológiával kapcsolatban okozni ez a kérdés, hogyha tisztázódik, hogy létezett a Saraswati.
He said, at his time, in the 19th century, it may not be possible to determine by geological evidence if there was a Saraswati and when it disappeared. But if ever evidence that the Saraswati River existed appears, then we should know that the Vedic age was before the disappearance of the Saraswati. That means you have a way of showing that the Vedic texts existed far into the past because they had to have been talking about the Saraswati before the Saraswati dried up.
Ez azt jelenti, hogy a védikus kultúra nagyon messzi időben létezett, mert az előtt kellett, hogy létezzen, hogy a Saraswati folyó kiszáradt.
So now the current battle is when exactly did the Saraswati disappear?
Tehát a jelenlegi vita most azzal kapcsolatban folyik, hogy a Saraswati folyó mikor tűnt el.
So, dates are given anywhere from 2500 BC to 1700 BC.
A dátumokat 2500 és 1700 alapján közösszeműtés mindenek. Valamelyek között.
Once this debate is resolved, then you'll have firm evidence of the existence of some Vedic texts, at least some Vedic texts, far into, much further into the past than anyone thought.
Hogyha ez a vita valamennyire megoldódik, akkor lesz nagyon szilárd bizonyítékunk arra, hogy a védikus kultúra sokkal korábban létezett, mint azt bárki gondolta volna.
Another way that scientists are going about the situation is to date the settlements that used to be on the riverbed.
Egy másik közelítés, amit a tudósok pontolgattak, hogy próbáljuk meg datálni azokat a településeket, amik a folyóparton voltak.
In other words, how do you build sites on a riverbed?
Hogyan építesz egy települést a folyóparton?
No, the river has to have dried up.
Nem, akkor olyan ki kell száradni.
So, if you date sites on a riverbed at 3000 BC, what does that mean about the river?
Hogyha a medelben találsz városokat, 3000-re időszámításunk előtt, akkor azért ki kellett, hogy száradjon a folyó.
That means the river dried up well before that time.
Azt jelenti, hogy az idő, szóval jóval ez idő előtt is száradt a folyó.
So now, most researchers agree that it is inarguable. Parts of the river dried up long before 3000 BC.
És a tudósok sokan egyetértenek abban, hogy a folyónak legalább bizonyos részei sokkal időszámítások előtt 3000 előtt is.
the French, a French scientific team has verified this.
Egy francia tudósnak igazolt ez.
His name is Paul Henri Frankfurt.
Paul Henri Frankfurt a neve.
So, this is a big battle right now in the scholarly
group.
The Indian scholars are ecstatic. Just me! And the Western scholars are trembling. Just wait, it's not sure yet, just wait. We have to go through an elaborate process of verification. Oh, they have many excuses. Maybe the Vedas are talking about a river called the Saraswati that is probably in Afghanistan, not India. There are many, many technical objections they raise to try to slow down this whole explosion. You probably studied a few of the technicalities. Now, this is what's going on right now. It's a crucial battle because, as I said, if the Saraswati can be shown to have dried up thousands upon thousands of years in the past, it means that the Vedic texts existed far before that.
Sok ezer évvel ezelőtt szállt ki, akkor az is beigazolódik, hogy létezett ez a civilizáció sok ezer évvel.
If you know the Mahabharata, you'll know it mentions the Saraswati, how it flows into the ocean.
Hogyha ismeritek a Mahabharatot, akkor tudjátok, hogy említi, hogy a Saraswati folyó beleömlik az óceánba.
You'll know how it describes Sri Balaram's pilgrimage tour along the Saraswati River. And you'll also know from the Mahabharata about Balaram's reaching the river's source in the Himalayas. The conclusion is rapidly emerging that the Vedic texts are describing the geography of India as it was at least in 3000 BC. When the Saraswati River emanated from the Himalayas and flowed all the way into the Arabian Sea.
Amikor a Saraswati folyó a Himalájában ered, és lefolyt egészen az arab tengerig.
What are the implications of this?
Mi ennek a következménye?
It would mean that the Vedic people and their advanced culture were there at the same time as the mysterious Indus Valley.
Hogy a védikus emberek és a védikus kultúra létezett legalább egy időben az Indus-völgyi kultúrában.
Consequently, you could conclude that in some way or other, oral or written down, the Vedas did exist before 3000 BC. So I'm sure you can understand why this is a big battle now. All right, we'll stop here and see if you have any questions. And our final session, we'll be dealing with the Puranas, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam.
És a utolsó részben a Puranákkal fogunk foglalkozni, és főleg a Srimad Bhagavatam.
And briefly before discussing that, we will deal with modern scientific information about how writing is actually not so such an advanced activity of human civilization at all.
És mielőtt erre rátérnek, egy kicsit fogok beszélni arról, hogy az írás miért nem igazából egy annyira fejlett aspektus az emberi civilizációnak.
Questions?
If I understand correctly, you mentioned that the Vedas have been transmitted orally at least for 3,000 years.
I said at least part of them.
Or part of them.
At least.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is commonly accepted among scholars.
Tehát a kérdés az, hogy azt mondtuk el, hogy legalább 3000 éve szájhagyomány útján terjedtek a védák, és azt mondtam el, hogy én azt mondtam, hogy a védáknak egy bizonyos része, és ezt nem én mondom, hanem ez egy általánosan elfogadott véde.
Especially Rig Veda.
Főleg a Rig Védának kapcsolatban.
But as you hear later today, scholars don't like Srimad Bhagavatam.
De hogy a nap folyamán majd hallnak ilyen, hogy tudod, hogy nem szeretném a Srimad Bhagavatam.
They don't like that ripened fruit.
That's going to be good to be a human.
It was that cream to sour.
Then I think we can do things to make sure we
it's too much for them.
It's too much for them.
So the later that they can date Srimad Bhagavatam to, the happier they are. Those of you who have read Srimad Bhagavatam, you can understand why a mundane mind would want to do that.
Aki olvasta Srimad Bhagavatamot, az megérti, hogy egy világias elme miért törekszik erre.
We're going to hear from a few honest scholars who are recognized as the Purana experts.
Amikor néhány őszinte tudósban, akiket Purana szakértőknek tekintenek.
Their conclusions are shocking.
És az ő végkövetkezéseink sokkolóak.
And no one has definitely taught this in the university.
És azt garantálom, hogy senki el nem tanították az egyetemet.
The merging of the scholarly, this kind of scholars as we know them today, is parallel with the submerging of religion in general?
Well, that's another subject, man. Good chance.
Tehát ahogy a tudósok kiemelkednek, azok a tudósok, akik ma ismerünk, ugyanúgy ismerjük őket, ezzel párhuzamosan kötődik azon, hogy a vallás
it's a different subject matter, but try to understand, it is a total devastating blow to Western knowledge to ever have to admit that India had a brilliant civilization far in the remote past.
Ez kicsit más téma, de próbáljuk megérteni, hogy milyen hatalmas csapással van a nyugati tudományra az elképzelés, hogy Indiában ősidőben létezett egy nagyon fejlett civilizáció.
You've got to understand the emotional attachments of society today. When you hold an iPod in your hand, you know this is the pinnacle of human achievement. Life is getting better and better. You can download music from the internet. And randomly shuffle the contents of your iPod.
És bármilyen sorrendben lejártatod az iPododnak a tartalmát.
So you're surprised at what song comes next as you walk down the street. So that you are surprised at what song comes next.
Jó, hogy meglepődsz, amikor így mész az utcán, hogy vajon melyik számot fogja játszani a
lejártatot. Isn't this the greatest promise?
Nem ez a legcsodálatosabb fejlődés?
But how dare anyone try to say that 5,000 or more years ago in India there were advanced sages and advanced
civilization.
So this is what the battle is all about.
And it's not that good.
Any other questions?
Seeing the disappearance of the early stars from a spiritual perspective. You know, it's one of the only rivers like Ganges or Jumna. You know that when Krishna departed the world, then the river Ganges also wanted to leave and wanted to stay here. Is there any description about this in Vedic literature, maybe said by Acharyas? About the spiritual significance of the river Saraswati becoming like a manifest?
I don't know, I think.
You have to know this?
But then you have to cope with the whole issue of the civilization as described in Bhagavatam and the Vedas disappear? The civilization. Why just the Saraswati or the Saraswati River? What about the whole civilization? I predict the answer will come as the study of climatic change becomes more and more developed. It is a relatively new field of science. Only just now are scientists talking about climatic changes so great that they can wipe out whole civilizations. And they're warning that it is possible to happen right now. That's my personal belief.
Part of the society was that was carrying this knowledge, was it the whole society that owned it, or just certain levels of it?
No, only the Brahmanas.
Brahmana.
You had to have the material propensity for that kind of responsibility. You had to have some intelligence. And the appropriate lifestyle. Otherwise, you can't develop those powers of concentration and memory. So at least there has to be material qualification. And of course, there's also spiritual qualification. But at least it's accepted that there had to be extraordinary material qualification.
De legalább az egyáltalán a tény, hogy eddig lényegi képességünk.
We'll discuss that this point of oral transmission briefly in our next session in terms of other cultures of the world.
Fogunk beszélni legalább röviden a szájnyomány útján terjedő kimesor a világ más kultúráival kapcsolatban a következő.
You'll see the same thing in ancient Greece.
Fogjátok látni ilyen dolgot az ősi Görögországban.
But not to the same proficiency, degree of proficiency as an ancient Indian. I don't know how the example would make sense in Hungarian, but can you imagine learning long passages in Hungarian two ways, according to grammatical rules and without grammatical rules? But that's how the Rig Veda has been transmitted for 3,000 years. And even scholars agree without any dissension that this method has preserved not only words, but accents.
És a tudósok minden kétség nélkül egyetértenek abban, hogy ez a módszer nem csak a szavakat megtalál, de a szavaknak a kérdésének a módját is.
So we'll talk about that later today. And how the Bhagavatam is going to be different for that. Actually, the more I speak about these things, the more I realize how important they are.
I saw a film that was demonstrating how the faces of Mahabharata, some people have found the remnants of Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
these planets and Vorka based on the scripture, isn't that enough food for a scholar that the scripture from the same tradition are also valid?
I notice I don't mention that. I think I explained before. It is true that sometimes Indian scholars get very enthusiastic. They're so eager to demonstrate, you know, the eternal truths of the Vedas. So it has not been demonstrated to an open-minded scholar's satisfaction that they have found Dwarka. The Dwarka that's described in Bhagavatam and
Krishnahood. And his reference was the Mahabharata, based on the Mahabharata.
As I say, they get very enthusiastic. You see, I am trying to give you a balanced presentation. I'm really not here to teach theology. Even though I may accept the theology. This is not a class in theology, is it? So, the reason why I don't ever mention the so-called discovery of Dwarka is that it's not, there's been nothing that, besides the enthusiasm, that would allow anyone to say that. He made a nice movie, though, and a nice video. I made the movie's what? They found something. It's a city, but does it have to be Dwarka? The Dwarka described in the Vedic text. So, you notice when I presented about the Saraswati River, I was giving you a balanced presentation.
Yes.
And this way, if you repeat what I said in this class, you'll be both respectable and, if you want, you'll be devotional also.
És hogyha ezeket a dolgokat is kutatítok el, amiket én mondom, akkor egyszerre fogom tisztelni benneteket, és ugyanakkor odaadóak is maradhatok.
This institution here is not for creating fanatics.
Ez intézmény nem az a cél szolgálja, hogy van a
kutatítani. Am I right?
Igazán van.
We are here for creating persons who have a deep understanding of
something.
So when it is so that there's actual conclusive evidence that someone has found Dwarka, you'll hear about it. I'll be the first to let you know. Through the karma, or who will let you know? But, you know, now we would like that they find work. But we really can't say that that is so yet. But with the Saraswati, yes, you can be very assured about that. But even still, there's so much debate going on amongst mundane science. Okay. For me, whether they found traces of Dwarka, and I still accept that there is Dwarka. I have a different means of verifying those things. Through the laboratory techniques of Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga, laboratory.
Mentions the Sarasvati because it got it from the Rig Veda, which is 2,000 years before the Bhagavad You see, if you don't want to accept something, there are so many ways you can avoid accepting.
Can I just have a last question about scientists? Is there existing rare individuals among scientists actually look for the truth?
Éreznek-e olyan titkát egyének a tudósok között, aki tényleg az igazságot keresi?
Yes.
Igen.
But what kind of truth are you referring to?
Igen. Milyen igazságot?
The truth that is coming through not this kind of acquiring knowledge in this imperfect way. Because I guess somebody gets the point after a while that it's all defeated all the time. So we have to look for knowledge in another way.
Igazságot, ami ezekkel a korlátozott módszereinkkel nem tudunk megtalálni, és időről időre fel kell ébrednünk, hogy ezzel a módon nem tudunk megtalálni az igazságot, de más módszerek ezt kell fordulni.
Looking for knowledge in another kind of way? Well, yes, that's what I'm doing.
Tudás keresni más módon, én ezt csinálom.
The Foxy Laboratory.
Foxy Laboratory.
And also.
Lehet, hogy csak nem értettem jól, hogy a rizsekszalmaknak vannak most az elmúlt hat évben olyan eredményei, hogy időszerintesünk a 300 előtt is nagyon híjásos emlékek így volt, amit a
In the scripture, misunderstood or not, that Richard Solomon has come up with something in the past 6 years in his research that there are written artifacts found from before the 300 BC India?
No, he hasn't. He has published the conclusion of his research in the past 6 years. And the point he's making is that there's no doubt now about the astonishing accuracy of oral transmission of parts of the Vedas. And he's saying that from the very little evidence that scholars have, they can't say that any kind of developed writing system occurred in India before 300 BC.
Just mondja, hogy azokban a nagyon kevés tényből, ami a tudósok rendelkezésére nem tudják azt mondani, hogy volt írott emlék időszámításokkal a 300 előtt.
Whatever you think of the Indus Valley at 2500 BC, it's not a fully developed writing system.
Amikor itt az Indus-völgyiek időszámítások előtt 2500-ban lévő írásra utalunk, akkor egy nagyon kifejlett írásrendszer.
So in terms of a fully developed writing system, Solomon is saying there's very little evidence that we can base our conclusions on.
Tehát Solomon azt mondja, hogy a kifejlett írásrendszerrel kapcsolatban nagyon nagy kevés bizonyítékunk van, amire alapozhatnánk.
But then he himself says, it's hard to believe this. That India would not have a fully developed writing system for
300 BC.
And we do hope in the future that there will be some major archaeological discovery. So we cannot rule out surprises in the future. And we should leave the door open. At the same time, we should not hold our breath. In other words, the mystery is so great. Okay. A lot to think about. So these things that I'm telling you, this is the cutting edge of Indology.
ezek a dolgok, amikről beszélünk, ez az indológiának a nagyon vitatott területe.
Another a good name for this course that I give it to be Indology with Integrity.
Ez egy másik kínai kérdett volna adni ennek az előadásnak, az indológia integritással.
As a very rare thing in this world. So if you understood all the things that I'm explaining to you, you should not feel embarrassed at all about your being an adherent of the Vedic knowledge. But still, the greatest problem is Srimad Bhagavatam. Percent of Indological scholars will very firmly say Bhagavatam is a recent creed.
Az indológus tudósok 99%-a azt mondja, hogy a Bhagavatam egy új keletű dolog.
Everyone except the experts in the field.
Mindenki kivéve a szakértők a területen.
They give a completely different conclusion.
És úgy teljes más megközelítésre jutnak.
But the general public, not even graduate students at university, they're not taught what the experts say.
De az általános embereknek, sőt még a végzett egyetlen ismertes, hogy tanítják az olyan a szakemberek.
Therefore, insecurity about the Bhagavatam affects the whole world to one degree or another.
Ezért valamilyen mértékben a Bhagavatammal kapcsolatos bizonytalanság az egész világra hatással van.
Because of false propaganda.
A hamis propaganda miatt.
We'll deal with that next.
Majd erről beszélünk a következő órán.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Last of my good fortune.
Your connection to Joshua.
But just for my own information, if I can tell others in other lands about you all. What is the statistics? How many of you, maybe you can tell me, to see how many are, shall we say, full practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, how many are sympathizers, how many are completely just curious,
like that?
Or is it a secret?
Provoking theme from the Vedic literature?
advanced human beings don't need to write things down. A completely different way of looking at the situation. What is considered so great in the eyes of modern scholars, from the Vedic point of view, is considered to be so inferior.
Ami modern tudomány számára olyan csodálatosnak tűnik, mert egy alacsonyabb rendű dolognak tűnik a védikus szempontból.
And as we heard earlier, scholars accept that the oral transmission of the Vedic knowledge has been more successful than if anyone had written something down.
És ahogy beszéltünk róla, a tudósok elfogadják, hogy a szájhagyomány útján történő tudás átadás sokkal sikeresebb volt, mint hogy az írásban történt volna.
Okay, let's get some cross-cultural comparisons.
Nézzük néhány más kulturális összehasonlítást.
The culture of ancient Greece is much more recent.
Az ősi görögök története sokkal új keletű.
Than what we've been talking about.
Still,
in ancient Greece, the point is that the reciters knew Homer and other poets by heart, memory.
De mindig elmondhatjuk, hogy a görög történelmi időben az emberek kívülről ismerték Homéroszt a műveit.
Their memories were trained to retain hundreds of thousands of lines of poetry by heart.
Úgy voltak képezve, olyan memóriáink volt, hogy sok százezer versot tudtak fejből memorizálni.
And this way, classics like the Iliad and the Odyssey were originally passed down by memory.
És így adták át az Iliadot és az Odysszeiát emlékezetből egymásra.
By oral transmission.
Szájhagyomány útján.
So it's an interesting parallel from another culture.
De egy érdekes párhuzam egy másik kultúrából.
So the Vedic tradition tells us that up until approximately 5,000 years ago, the memory of intellectuals was so sharp that just by hearing knowledge once, they could retain it perfect.
Védikus hagyomány azt mondja, hogy 5000 évvel ezelőttig az emberek memóriája annyira éles volt, hogyha csak egyetlen egyszer hallottak valamit, akkor képesek voltak emlékezni rá.
So in complete reversal of current conceptions, the Vedas tell us that recording knowledge in books indicates not human progress but human decline.
Hát teljesen ellentmondva a modern elképzelésnek, a védikus tanítás azt mondja nekünk, hogy az írás az nem a civilizáció fejlődésére utal, hanem a hanyatlására.
What do you think about that?
Nem mit gondoltok?
The prevalent Western assumption has been that writing is a decisive development in the linear ascent of human culture.
A nyugati elképzelés az, hogy az emberi kultúra lineáris fejlődésének a egyik komoly fejlődési pontja az írás megjelenése.
On one side are the preliterates, who were not so smart, and on the other side, the writers, and that's when civilization really went to another level.
Az egyik oldalon van az írás tudatlanok, és utána vannak az írók, akiknek a megjelenésében a civilizáció nagy mértékben előre lépett.
So according to the current knowledge filter, a civilization, although maybe very artistic, if it doesn't have writing, it's considered substandard.
A jelenlegi tudásunk szerint lehet, hogy a civilizáció nagyon művészi, de hogyha nincs benne írás, akkor alacsonyabb lehetőnek számít.
How many of you ordinarily can consider that there can be an advanced society that lacked writing?
Hány nem tudok elképzelni egy ilyen dolgot, hogy létezik egy fejlett civilizáció, ahol nem írva.
Just that inability shows you how we have certain strong preconceptions.
Ez a képtelenség megmutatja, hogy milyen mennyire feltételekhez vannak kötve a gondolataink.
So the question is writing indeed a prerequisite for advanced intellectual expression and invention?
Tehát felmerülhet a kérdés, hogy a fejlett intellektuális kifejeződésnek feltétele az írás.
Let's go to the work of Steven Pinker.
Nézzük meg Steven Pinker.
Now he's a very famous brain and cognitive science professor at MIT.
MIT-ben egy nagyon híres
a brain and cognitive science.
Agy és kognitív tudományok professzora.
If you mention his name at the university, again, the professors will offer
Hogyha a nevét az egyetemeteken megemlítitek, akkor a professzorok rálátják, hogy jól jelenti.
He has shown in his research that many scientific breakthroughs do not depend on thinking in words.
Kihozott az utazásaiból, hogy sok tudományos elterés nem a szavakban való gondolkodásból származik.
He explains that the actual method is mind visualization.
Azt mondta, hogy a valódi folyamat, vagy módszer, az a mentális vizualizáció.
Who's the most famous visual thinker, according to his own description?
Ki a leghíresebb vizuális gondolkodó az ön leírása szerint?
Albert Einstein.
Okay.
He arrived at many of his insights by imagining, for example, that he's riding a beam of light and looking back at a clock. He arrived at some of his insights by his imagining himself riding a beam of light and then looking back at a clock. And looking back at the clock. Or dropping a coin while standing in an elevator that's quickly crashing to the ground. So he explained that thinking about this through conventional words, through writing, is very, very difficult, and it only happens in the secondary stage. So many great scientists have said that ideas come to them in the form of images. You've studied science and you recognize the names. James Maxwell, Michael Faraday, Watson and Crick all say this mental visualization is their primary way of understanding truths. Therefore the question is, why should historians today insist that the ancients needed to write in order to demonstrate advanced intellect? Current research in cognitive science has shown that humans think in symbols rather than in words. So in this way, I hope you can look at this writing situation in a new way. In other words, there are other possibilities for encoding and transmitting knowledge. One more example from Greece, ancient Greece. Socrates relayed to Plato a legend that indicated the ancient Egyptians may not have been so enthusiastic about writing.
Socrates számolta Plátónak egy történetet, amiben arról beszélt, hogy lehet, hogy az egyiptomiak nem voltak olyan lelkesek írni.
An Egyptian god gave writing to the pharaohs.
Egy egyiptomi isten átadta az írást a fáraóknak.
And said, this art of writing will make the Egyptians wiser and have a better memory.
Just mondta, hogy az írás tudománya vagy művészete bölcsebbé fogja tenni az egyiptomiakat, és jobb lesz az emlékezetük.
For it has been invented to aid remembrance and understanding. It has been invented to aid, to help remembrance and understanding.
Arra találták ki, hogy segítse a megértést.
But the pharaoh didn't agree with the guy.
A fáraó nem értett vele egyet.
He said, this invention will make us more forgetful. We'll depend on writing and will no longer have inner and direct remembrance. Only outer memory will be helped by your invention. So that's an interesting account from Plato, from Socrates, telling this to Plato. A good indication that something different was going on in the past. So, Because Vedic knowledge has been transmitted orally, it's extremely difficult to pin down the origin of this knowledge. It's like trying to catch a fugitive criminal by catching the clothes he's left in various places. In other words, don't be fooled. Even if you surmount the obstacles in dating Vedic texts,
tehát lényeg az, hogy nem csinálj magad boroskodát, tehát még hogy hát is lépsz azokon az akadályokon, amik a végig szövegek tartalásának útjába
állnak. You're actually able to come up with real dates for the origin of the Vedic text.
És valódi dátumokkal tudsz előállni az eredeti végig szövegek megjelenésének időszakával kapcsolatban.
Still, you have to catch the origin of the actual knowledge itself, and that is a different thing.
De mindig el kell kapnod a magának a tudásnak az eredetének az időpontját, ami egy másik.
So don't be fooled. The texts are just a medium. Where did the actual knowledge in the text originate?
Tehát ne legyetek becsapva, az írott szövegek azok csak egy hordozó eszköz, de honnan mikortól származik ez az eredeti tudás?
I'll give you a comment from a prominent Indologist at the University of Chicago. She's on the previous page. Wendy O'Flaherty. Anyway, she says, when we look at Vedic texts, we have no problem telling what is there, but we have complete difficulty telling where it is in space and time.
Tehát amikor a védikus szövegeket nézzük, akkor nem az a probléma, hogy azt lássuk, hogy mi van ott, hanem hogy hol van időben és térben.
Another problem in writing is how is it that primitive barbarians swept into India through Afghanistan spoke a language that's so much more sophisticated than even modern language.
Egy másik probléma, amit felmerülött, hogy lehet, hogy akik az Afganisztánból bevándorló barbár indiaiak egy fejlettebb nyelven beszélnek.
According to the predominant Aryan invasion theory of Indian civilization, nomads speaking Sanskrit poured into the Indian subcontinent.
Az Aryan bevándorlása elmélet szerint nomádok jöttek be Indiában, akik a szanszkrit nyelvet beszélték.
But somehow or other, although these nomads had primitive habits, they spoke Sanskrit. These nomads came over the Khyber Pass with cattle, goats, and dogs. Yet they spoke a language far more intricate and sophisticated than modern languages. So obviously there's no correlation between the level of brilliance that's evident in the language and the supposed level of the people who spoke it.
The church of Anderson is that the minőségét azokban az emberekkel, amilyen minőséget tulajdonítanak azokat az emberek, akik beszélték azt.
Common sense would seem to tell us that to speak an uncommonly advanced language, there has to be an uncommonly advanced civilization. Some of you are studying Sanskrit. Yes, so how you have to think, how could such a language have been spoken by barbarians sweeping from Afghanistan and further, supposedly further west into India. Listen to a description available today in a Time Life publication called Barbarian Times. They have these Time Life books in Hungarian? Popular presentations for high school and beginning university students.
középiskolásoknak, kezdve egyetemistáknak népszerű ilyenek.
So this was called barbarian tides.
Ennek az volt a címe, hogy barbár kötelék.
Tides in the ocean. So the tides of barbarians are rushing into
India.
Speaking Sanskrit. Listen to the scripture. This is a contemporary book meant for the population, general population. They are proud, tall, fair-skinned people.
Büszkék, magasan és világnagyobb emberek.
With great herds of cattle and horses.
Nagy csordáink és lovaik vannak.
Flocks of sheep and goats.
Juhaik és kecskék.
And packs of yapping, frisky dogs. Yapping, gap, gap, frisky. At night, on the trail, they dressed in wool and hides to protect themselves against the bitter cold. They ate beef and drank a beer-like beverage when they sat around the fire. So that's the image that's given to the general population. As we are for who originally spoke Sanskrit. Now obviously scholars will object to the very graphic details. But the essence or the core of this presentation comes from scholars. So this is what you're dealing with today. Now we'll go to the Purana problem. When do we end? First of all, understand, when you talk about Puranas, you're talking about an overwhelming volume of literature by that name.
Először is meg kell érteni, hogy amikor a Puránákról beszélünk, akkor egy nagyon hatalmas méretű irodalomról beszélünk, ami ezt a nevet ismeri.
Vedic practitioners generally accept 18 Puranas as main, but there are scores of others which are considered minor or not so authoritative.
A Vedic kultúra követői 18 fő Puránát fogadnak el, de vannak másikok is.
So from the very beginning, when European scholars became aware of the Puranas 200 years ago, they were just overwhelmed by the sheer quantity of Puranic material.
Amikor a nyugati tudósok szembesültek a Puranák létével, akkor nagyon megdöbbentett őket ennek a mérete.
So remember when we discussed the time when Europe was just madly in love with India? At that time, they were fascinated by the Puranas. So much mystical information that they'd never dreamed of before. So, at the beginning of the 19th century, famous scholars were studying the Puranas. These were big Purana scholars at the beginning of the 19th century. But after the middle of the 19th century, the Puranas faded from the academic
limelight.
The mad embrace of the Puranas ended. By the middle of the 19th century and never recovered. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada brought Srimad Bhagavatam to the West in English, it was a complete revolution. So, A.J. Wilson is very controversial about the Puranas.
A.J. Wilson, nagyon ellenmondásos a nyilatkozatában.
We heard before that many accuse him of actually not having read the Puranas, but of plagiarizing others' work.
Tudjuk, hogy sokan voltak olyan tudósok, akik nem olvasták meg valójában a Puránákat, csak mások műveire hivatkoztak.
In any case, whether he read them or not, he gave a conclusion that affected Puranic research for many decades.
Függetlenül attól, hogy ő olvasta őket vagy nem, egy olyan végkövetkezésre jutott, ami sok évtizeden keresztül befolyásolta Puránákról a megjelenését.
He said, studying the Puranas is not worth it.
Azt mondta, hogy a Puránákat nem érdemes tanulmányozni.
They are latecomers to the Vedic scene.
Sokkal később kerülnek a Vedikus
See, the Europeans at that time were in a quest for what is the most original ancient knowledge. So as soon as H.H. Wilson came up with the opinion, oh, they're all recent creations, that diminished almost everyone's enthusiasm.
But
a contemporary of his, Vance Kennedy, had a completely different opinion. He advocated that the origin of the Puranas is unknown in time. So he was a famous, he was one of the main scholars at that time. So he said, anyone who says that the Puranas are composed recently is making a statement unsupported by the slightest bit of proof.
Azt mondta, hogy ha valaki azt mondja, hogy a Puránák új keletű írások, akkor egy olyan kijelentés lesz, amit semmilyen leghalványabb bizonyítéka sem tud alátámasztani.
Now this Vance Kennedy, he's a heavyweight in the field, but what about Wilson?
Ez a Vance Kennedy egy ilyen nehéz súlyú személy volt a szakterületén, mert mi volt Wilsonnak.
Wilson sat on the imperial Bowdoin chair of Sanskrit, Oxford.
In Oxford, when a Bowdoin Sanskrit translator was doing a presentation for a statement.
So how can you compete with that?
And
also, Wilson's opinion was the most appropriate for subjugating barbaric India.
És Wilson véleménye volt a legjobban megfelelő ahhoz, hogy megfordítsák a barbár Indiát.
For convincing the Indians that any pride they had in the glorious lost past was completely imagination.
És hogy meggyőzik az indiaiakat arról, hogy a múltbeli dicsőséges vezetésükről alkotott kép az csak egy képzelet.
Now, it is a fact that Indologists today will be upset if you accuse them that their founder, H.H. Wilson, has set the academic agenda far into the 20th century.
Persze sértéseknek indít a mai indulósok, hogyha azt mondjuk, hogy H.H. Wilson egészen 20. században nyúlóan meghatározta az elképzeléseivel az indulósok elképzelését.
But have no doubt that's exactly what happened.
De megképpenvédétek pontosan ezt történt.
And this can be demonstrated.
És itt van lehet mutatni.
One man's original speculation had an effect of more than 150 years.
Egy ember eredeti spekuláció több mint 150 évig kihatott.
Vance Kennedy was a heavyweight of his time, but he, what can he say when the Bowdoin chair of Sanskrit gave another opinion?
Vance Kennedy egy nehéz súlyú személy volt abban az időben, de mit mondhatott, amikor a Sanskrit tanszék más véleményt alkotott?
So by H.H. Wilson's calling the Puranas recent material, it caused all the other scholars to lose enthusiasm for studying the Puranas.
Amikor H.H. Wilson új keletűnek nevezte a Puránákat, akkor a tudósok elvesztették a lelkesedésüket, hogy tanulmányozzák azokat.
Now, I'm giving you this information from a current German Indologist, Ludo Rocher.
Ezt az információt egy jelenlegi német indológustól vettem, hogy úgy hívják, hogy Ludo Rocher.
Right now, he is considered the greatest Puranic scholar in the world. Whenever I would participate in Indologist internet conferences, whenever a question came up about the Puranas, they would always say, wrote your notes.
Amikor néztem ilyen ittológus internet konferenciákat, akkor bármilyen kérdés van, amikor ugyan elmondom, hogy mindig azt mondtam, hogy rosszul tudja.
Because most in Dallas, don't deal with the pranas. They like to deal with Rig Veda.
Rig Veda-val szeretnek foglalkozni.
Pranas, they're just too, it's just too mind-blowing for them. So they always say, Roger, he knows. But then I discovered none of them ever read what Roger said. He's recognized as the world's authority, but no one knows what he said. Roger knows, he knows. But when he says something he contradicts what people are taught in high school, in university, he says, number one, one reason why the Puranas are considered late texts is because scholars are lazy. It's too much work studying the Puranas. It's so overwhelming. Before you can approach the Puranas, you have to think of ways and methods to control this huge mass of material. So therefore, because the size of the Puranas is so unmanageable, it's very easy to just dismiss them. Ah, recent production. First of all, and secondly, he says, the contents of the Purana shock scholars. Whether they're European or modernized Indian. He quotes various scholars who have said that the Puranas are the most contain the most monstrous absurdities of all Vedic literature.
So,
if you've read Srimad Bhagavatam, you can understand how such mind blowing ideas are too much for someone steeped in traditional Western conceptions. That was true then, and it's still true now. But the West doesn't get all the blame. India gets part of the blame. Some Hindu thinkers near the start of the 20th century also began to talk negatively about the Puranas. They wanted to find an effective basis for Hindu unity. And they felt the Puranas are just too exotic. Let us glorify the more sedate and generic Vedic texts. So they would advocate, the four Vedas and the Upanishads. Even today you'll find a sect known as Arya Samaj is known for openly dismissing the Puranas.
Van egy ilyen csoport, az Arya Samaj, ők a mai napig elutasítják a Puranákat.
Also the Western originated Theosophical Society has a standoff attitude about the Puranas. Now if you study Vedic theology, you know that amongst Vedic supporters, they see all the facets of Vedic knowledge working together as a harmonious whole.
A védikus szövegek minden részletét teljes egységként látják.
They don't erect a stone wall between what is considered the original Vedic works and the later Puranic creations. Unfortunately, this is the most widely publicized attitude in Western academia. And then, of course, you'll find books meant for the general population with the same notion.
És persze talán a középen szóló könyvekben is olyanokat, amik ugyanezt az elképzelést hirdetik.
Who else can you blame for this notion?
Ki más lehet hibáztatni ezért az elképzelésért?
After H. H. Wilson, who came next?
Ki jött H. H. Wilson?
The number one godfather, Max Muller.
Az első számú keresztnap, Max Muller.
After H. H. Wilson dismissed the Puranas, Max Muller followed and closed the door tight.
Miután H.H. Wilson elutasította a Puránákat, Max Müller követte a lábnyomait, és szorosan bezárt az ajtót.
And he said, just completely discard the Puranas. They have no connection to the early period of Vedic literature.
So the tradition of Vesita kell a Puránákat, semmi kapcsolatot nincs a korai védikus írásokhoz.
He said, this is true of Mahabharata and Ramayana, and even more true of the Puranas.
Azt mondta, hogy ez igaz a Mahabharata és a Rámájára, és még inkább igaz a Puránákra.
Now, what does Ludo Rocher say about this wall put up between the four Vedas, Upanishads and the Puranas?
Mit mond Ludo Rocher abban a falal kapcsolatban, amit a Népvilág és a Puránák közé épített?
He doesn't give an opinion himself, but at least he recognizes that people who are part of the Vedic tradition completely uphold the fidelity of the Puranas and refuse to divorce them from the Vedas. He explains that the general consensus of Vedic intellectuals completely upholds the fidelity of the Puranas.
Felismeri, hogy a védikus értelmiségiek mindannyian elfogadják a Puránák valóságát és hitelességét.
And refuses to divorce the Puranas in any way from the Vedas.
És semmilyen módon nem akarják elválasztani a Puránát a Védáktól.
In fact, he says that they see, Vedic intellectuals see the Puranas as natural continuations and developments of the four Vedas.
És azt mondja, hogy a védikus értelmiségiek a Puránákat a négy Véda folyamatos folytatásának látja.
And he said, they see the Puranas as essential companions for correct understanding of the four Vedas.
És nagyon fontosnak tartják őket, sőt nélkülözhetetlenek a négy Véda megértéséhez.
So that is the world's number one authority on the Puranas.
Ezt mondja a Puránákkal kapcsolatos első számú tekintély, szaktekintély.
It's very important for our work because he says that the general consensus of those within the Vedic system, Vedic intellectuals, do not reject the Puranas.
Ez nagyon fontos, hogy azt mondja, hogy a védikus értelmiségiek nem utasítják a Puránákat.
And see the Puranas as complementing and explaining the four Vedas.
És úgy látják, hogy a Puránát kiegészítik és magyaráznak a négy Védát.
See, what happens is so many Indologists, they say, oh, you're not really Vedic, you're into the Puranas. It's not only our opinion that the Puranas are something else, but most Vedic intellectuals in India think the same way. And then what's the next step? You're following a recently developed cult. But now you have the number one authority in the world on the Puranas saying otherwise. But as I said before, Indologists always mention Rocher's name, but they never read him. Okay, now here's another surprising thing. Vedic sympathizers aren't the only ones to think that Puranic knowledge existed deep in the uncharted past.
A
Rocher's study of the Puranas surprises us by pointing out that many modern scholars believe that lost in antiquity is an original singular Purana. Known as the Purana Veda. In Taoism, they sometimes use the Germanized term Ur Purana. The original Purana. So what does Rocher, the greatest authority in the Puranas in the academic world, point out about this? That amazingly, a main opinion of modern scholars actually comes quite close to the Puranic version of the Puranas.
Azt mondja, hogy megdöbbentő módon a modern tudósoknak ez a véleménye nagyon közel áll a maguknak, a Puránáknak a véleményéhez.
Rajshri Bhagavatam, you know the part where Vyasadeva divided the Vedic literature.
Rajshri Srimad Bhagavatamon, és azt a részt, amikor Vyasadeva felosztotta a védikus írásokat.
So amazingly, many scholars actually believe that there's an original Purana Veda, and from that one Purana Veda came the many different Puranas we recognize today. The Bhagavatam talks about the fifth Veda. Chandogya Upanishad talks about the fifth Veda. So without knowing it, in Dalitas, many of them are actually agreeing with what the Bhagavatam says.
Tehát van nélkül, hogy tudnák, sokan egyetértenek azon, amit a Bhagavatam mond.
Okay. Now there's a difference, a huge difference between Bhagavatam and Rigveda.
Nagy különbség van a Bhagavatam és a Rigveda között.
When you deal with the Puranas, you're trying to grasp knowledge, not linguistic perfection of transmission.
Amikor a Puránákkal foglalkozik valaki, akkor a tudással foglalkozik, nem pedig a nyelvéhez tökéletességgel.
The Rig Veda is famous for its impeccable tradition of fidelity in the syllables passed down over thousands of years.
A Rig Veda arra híres, hogy a sok ezer éven keresztül átadott.
Okay. The Rig Veda is famous for its extraordinary tradition of passing down exact syllables over thousands of years.
A Rigvéda arról híres, hogy nagyon pontosan adja át a különböző szótagjait sok ezer éven keresztül.
The Bhagavatam's not like that.
A Bhagavatam nem ilyen.
See, Rigveda is a ritualistic source book.
A Rigvéda az a rituálisoknak a
forrásnak. You may know one mispronunciation of a syllable and the whole yajna, the whole sacrifice is spoiled.
Hogyha egyetlen szótagot rosszul ejtenek, akkor az egész áldozat hiába való.
So the Rigveda demands an absolute rigor in transmission of the language.
The Rigveda megköveteli azt, hogy teljesen hibátlanul adják át a nyelvet.
Puranic literature is not like that.
A puránikus írások nem ilyenek.
More important than the minute details of communication is the purport.
A kommunikáció akkor részleteinél fontosabb a magyarázat.
The Puranas stress the original clarity of the purport.
A Puranák a magyarázat világosságát hangsúlyozzák.
Therefore, no one boasts that every syllable of the Puranas is exactly the way it was thousands of years ago.
De senki sem dicsekszik azzal, hogy a Puránáknak minden egyes apró részlete pontosan olyan, ahogy az több ezer évvel ezelőtt volt.
For the Puranas, the clarity of the purport is important.
A Puránák szempontjából a magyarázat tisztasága fontos.
So, Vedic tradition will tell you that the Puranas are a core of information that is presented and represented from time to time.
A védikus információval megmutatjuk, hogy a Puranák olyan tartalommal bírnak, amit elmondtak, és aztán újra és újra elmondtak.
Just like in the Bhagavatam, you'll read, Shukadev Goswami made his presentation, Sutta Goswami was in the audience, and he made his presentation.
Itt, ahogy a Bhagavatamban olvashatjuk, hogy ezt a Shukadev Goswami beszélt, és akkor Sutta Goswami hallott tőle, és aztán ő elmondta.
So, this is a difference, a major difference. You will find mention of the Puranas in the four Vedas.
Említjük a Puránát a négy védához.
This is another objection that people will make. The four Vedas are original and the Puranas are later and there's no reference in the four Vedas to the Puranas. Completely
untrue.
I won't go into the details now about that. You've probably studied it in other classes. Okay. Now we're going to move to the topic of the Puranas originating from sectarianism in India. The title of this discussion is called Let's Make a Sect. So, there is a notion that the Puranas were created in the first millennium AD.
Van egy ilyen vélemény, hogy a Puránák az első években jöttek létre.
By the Brahmanas who saw they were losing their monopoly.
És a Brahmanák hozták létre, úgy látták, hogy kezdik el veszíteni a monopóliumukat.
And so they wanted to establish the supremacy of their particular sect.
És a saját csoportjuknak a felsőbbrendűségét akarták megerősíteni.
Because the real, the so-called real period of the four Vedas and Upanishads had ended.
Mert a négy véde és Upanishádok időszaka azt mondták, hogy véget ért.
So now there was a battle amongst rival priests representing various sects.
És most a különböző csoportokat képviselő papok között csapat volt.
Some champion Krishna, the Hindu forest love god. Some, you know, rallied around Krishna, the Hindu forest love god.
Volt, akik a Hindu erdei szerelemistenő dicsőítették.
Others supported Shiva, the Hindu god of ghosts.
Mások Shivát, a Hindu szerelemistenét.
Others chose Durga.
Mások Durgát választották.
So, the whole point is, according to this misunderstanding, the Puranas were the product of the priests trying to establish their sect as supreme.
Tehát a félreértés szerint a Puránák csak annak a termékei, hogy a Brahmanák próbálták magukat felsőbbnek helyzetben.
And from their sectarian efforts at the beginning of the first millennium come the modern Hindu sects we know about today.
És az ő szektariánus erőfeszítéseiből származnak a modern hindu szekták, amiket ma ismerünk.
Sometimes you quite often you can hear this notion.
Elég gyakran hallani ezt a véleményt.
Now, I hope that you've developed a sixth sense by now. As soon as you hear any popular notion today about Indology, what alarm bell in your mind should go up?
Hogyha hallok a modern indulósokról manapság, akkor milyen vészcsengőnek kell megszólalni a fejedekben?
Follow the trail back to the first European indulós.
Kövessétek vissza a nyomatban az első európai indulóshoz.
Particularly follow the trail back to London.
Kövessétek a nyomat vissza Londonban.
Yes. All of these notions come out of the first British indologist.
Ezek az elképzelések mind az első angol indológustól
származnak. Who was the first one to brand the Puranas as sect material?
Ki volt az első, aki úgy beérezte meg a Puranákat, hogy a szekta anyag?
H.H. Wilson.
H.H. Wilson.
He's the one who came up with the evil priest theory.
Ő állt elő az ördögi papság elmélettel.
So the current world's recognized number one Purana expert, Ludo Rocher, he did a whole study of this situation.
Ludo Rocher, aki a világ legismertebb első számú Purana szaktekintély, tanulmányozta ezt a kérdést.
I won't give you all the details.
Nem mondom az összes részletet.
But he presents the trail of the so-called sectarian Purana's notion from Wilson all the way up to the 20th century.
De Wilsontól végigköveti ezt a szektás Purán elképzelést a 20. századig.
He shows, he quotes from book after book, scholar after scholar, generation after generation.
Megmutatja így idézi az egyik nevet a másik után, az egyik tudós a másik után generációról generációra.
And so if you get books about India today, you'll find the same notion.
Úgyhogy ha Indiában kapcsolatos könyvtéről nézhetem a magasságok, ugyanis szerkézelés találjátok.
So it's very important for us to be able to show that this idea is complete compassion.
Nagyon fontos a számunkra, hogy meg tudjuk mutatni, hogy ez szerkézelés egy teljes kitaláció.
And Ludo Rocha's work verifies that.
És ezt Ludo Rocha munkája igazolja.
It's a concoction that originated with the British, particularly H.H. Wilson. And Rocha shows how one scholar repeats it, and then the next scholar quotes that scholar, the next scholar quotes that scholar, on you go up into the 20th century. The only one who dissented in the 19th century was Vance Kennedy, even though he was a heavyweight. Let me give you some proof about the current existence of this speculation. That the Puranas are development of recent sects. Right now, you can go get the Penguin Encyclopedia of Classical Civilizations. And what does it say? Now notice, you read about the Puranas not in the Penguin Encyclopedia of Ancient Civilizations, but Classical Civilizations, later. It explains that Puranic knowledge originated in the centuries after Christ. The Brahmanas concocted it all the Brahmanas, to keep up with the popular trends booming in India around the 4th or 5th century AD. To maintain their position amongst the population. They were being very innovative. Oh, this is what the people want. Okay, let's make a Purana. And we'll be the priests of the particular cult that we're making. So, do the few scholars who specialize in the Puranas accept, do they still accept this recent sect theory? No. You'll never know that from your studies at school. What does Rocha say? He said, among current Purana specialists, this recent sect notion is not accepted. Alright, now that we've made a sect, let's make a date. When did the Puranas originate? Rocha says it is impossible to date a particular Purana. If it's not impossible, it's highly speculative. So nevertheless, scholars come up with dates. A prominent Indologist of the University of Chicago, Wendy O'Flaherty, she says, the dating of a Puranas is an art. It cannot be called science. So how does Rocha conclude his examination of Purana dating? I submit that it is not possible to set a specific date for any Purana. There's the world's expert. Now you say, well, why doesn't all the scholars know this? Obviously, they don't want to know this. They just say, Rocha knows, he's the expert. But this is what the expert says. Okay, Now, let us conclude with Srimad Bhagavatam particularly. It is the most famous Purana, without a doubt. Although it's the most famous, scholars can't agree on a date for it. Even today, you'll hear stories that an Indian-born grammarian named Bhopadev wrote the Bhagavad Purana down 600 years ago. You will find this notion present still today. In Srila Prabhupada's introduction to his presentation of Bhagavatam, he refers to this notion of Bhopadev. Once again, where did this notion come from? H.H. Wilson. Vance Kennedy completely disagreed. Wilson supported it, and all his successors under his sway supported it. And what is the conclusion now? By Rocher. This is completely false. Here we go again. Now this next point is very funny. Quite a few indologists say that the Bhagavatam has to be very recent because it's so beautifully structured. Morris Winternitz says it's the one Purana more than any others that is so beautiful, exceptionally beautiful in its composition.
Morris Winternitz mondta, hogy ez a Bhagavatam
its language, its style, and meter are so wonderful. He said it's so excellent in terms of literature, it must be a recent production. It all makes sense to him. Once again, if you go to a bookstore today, where they have Penguin books, and you get the Penguin Encyclopedia of Classical Civilization, what does it say? The Bhagavad Purana reveals its lateness in composition by the fact it is so well structured and written. These are the biases that we're dealing with. So the Bhopadev idea is now rejected by the Sanskritists. Bhopadev turns out to be a 13th century author of a few small books about Vaishnavism. So if you're speaking to someone and they bring out the Bhopadev issue, you can just dismiss it completely. So, once again, Rocha's conclusion about all the Puranas is no one can come up with a date for the origin of any Purana. Now, how does that apply specifically to Srimad Bhagavatam? He says it's even more so. He says he presents a table in his book guesses about the origin of the Bhagavatam from more than 30 scholars. They go from anywhere from 2500 BC to 1300 AD. The guesses by scholars fill a range of 3,800 years. So Roger says this demonstrates that no one knows what they're talking about. So that is what the number one prana expert in the world says. No one knows what they're talking about. They cannot come up with a deity. The myth about the Bhagavatam coming from being a product of a recent sect in India is totally false. The myth that most Vedic intellectuals in India don't appreciate Bhagavatam and they see it as separate from the four Vedas, that's false.
Az a mitosz, hogy a védikus értelmiségje megértékelik a Bhagavatamot, és külön választják a védikus írásokkal, ez is hamis.
And the myth of Bhopadev is false.
És a Bhopadev is hamis.
So, you know these things, you'll not be disturbed when anyone complains about the Bhagavad Purana.
Most megjelenik a dolgokat, tudjátok, akkor semmi sem fog szavarni benneteket, amikor valaki úgy a dolgokat mond a Bhagavatam Puránával.
And I can assure you that on this point, you will know more than 99% of Indologists.
És elmondhatom nektek, hogy ebben a pillanatban többet tudok, mint az indológusok 99%-ra.
So, any questions?
Valami kérdés? How much were the Indians themselves confused by interpreting these God patterns, and how much were they protected by the old ancient tradition and algorithmic system?
Until recently, most of the Indian intellectuals were confused.
I guess that most of the intellectuals were confused.
You know, they wanted to accommodate with the British regime. And, you know, they wanted to reject their primitive Indian ways. Remember, Max Müller produced 50 volumes of the sacred books of the East. Those books are out of print everywhere. Except in India. The effects of colonialism last a long time. But now, in the past 20 years, there's been an enormous swing in the other direction. To reject the past stereotypes and uncover the true glory of India. And of course then the Western scholars accuse that all your research is tainted with nationalism. Sometimes it is. But even so, still, these nationalist scholars come up with some good points. And quite a few of them are very objective. They're not influenced by nationalistic ideas. It's like the one who so-called discovered Dwarka. He's quite famous as being very fired up nationalist.
Mint aki ebben azt mondja, hogy Bárakát felfedezte, és híres nacionalis, lelkes nacionalista tényt ismer.
Ez Bibi Lal.
Mindjárt, hogy Bibi Lal.
Yes, you should feel very content and secure. You are sitting tight with Bhagavad Gita.
Igen, életetek magatokat, elégedetek és biztonságban, mert együtt ülnek a Bhagavatam Purana közelében.
No one can touch you in Bhagavatam. But very few scholars understand this. Maybe you'll meet in Hungary some scholars who come here and say, why are you focusing your education so much on the Puranas and not the original Vedas? Why are you presenting study of the Puranas as a study of Vedic knowledge? When everyone knows that the Puranas are creations of recent sects in India. Yes, it happens all the time. So now you know how to deal with that. You say, have you heard of Ludo Rocha? Yeah. He's the world expert. Have you ever read him? No, but he's the world expert. But you can tell him what Rocha said. And then there's nothing they can say. Well, I guess that's just not, I'm not a Purana specialist. He's a specialist. He knows. He can't expect me to know these things. That's generally how they respond. Not that I know of. And he stated his views quite clearly. You have to dig to find his works. He's like a professor. He's probably getting very old also. And it's the most difficult field studying Puranas because there's so many. It's much easier to specialize in Rig Veda. It's a reputation in that way.
What do people like very much fiction? Stories that are made up, guilds. Even if they would accept the Itihasas and the stories of the Quran in such a way, wouldn't it be easier for them to be able to relate to the values there and accept those values that are carried by them?
Yeah, well, of course it would be easier, but that's what they don't want. They don't want those values. Yeah, but it's all mythology. Jokini being chased. People don't even use that word anymore in England. I don't know about Hungarian. In Hungary, do people use that word? Chase? In New Zealand, a class of high school girls that came to our center. And I asked them, have you ever heard the word chase? So they don't want these values. It's easier to say they are myth. So you have a lot to think about. Alright, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you all. Thank you for this great honor. And I appreciate very much this wonderful institution here. Very wonderful staff.
csodálatos alkalmazottait,
very special students.
Nagyon különleges diákjait.
Oh, thank you very much.